Eulogy for Doug by Bart Meehan, performed by Gary Luck, who also performs the music, including the song Our Own War. The play is followed by a reading of Dulce Decorum Est by Wilfred Owen, performed by Tony Turner.
G'day, everyone. Could I have your attention, please? Thanks for coming to see Doug off. And thanks to Jackie and the other ladies for putting on such a good spread. Those little sausages and pastry are a real treat. I think Jono must have had 20 of them. It's another stinker out there, isn't it? When are we going to get some bloody rain? Tom, take off the jacket before you fall over. Doug would have appreciated the thought, mate, but you know he wasn't much for dressing up. He wore the arse out of every pair of jeans he ever owned. Anyway, I just wanted to say a few words about my brother. By the way, that was Jane's instruction before I got up here. Keep it short. She's right. I was always the talker in the family. Doug was the quiet one, like the old man. The pair of them could sit on the veranda for hours and not say a word. That drove me mad as a kid, but it was just the way they were. They had plenty of stories. They just didn't tell them. You know, I remember watching combat on TV once and asking Pop what he did in the war. He shrugged it off like it wasn't worth talking about. The only story I ever heard came from his brother about the time they found a wine cellar in an abandoned house and had knocked off 10 bottles of red when a German patrol turned up. He reckoned the old man shot 10 of them before he ran out of bullets. And then he did in a couple more with his bayonet. When I asked Pop if it was true, all he said was the Nazi should have known better than to interrupt a man when he was having a drink. Then he went outside to pick a chicken for dinner. Doug was the same. Hardly ever said anything about Vietnam. Though once he did tell me about the sniper who hid at the end of the runway and took pot shots at the planes. He missed every time. So the word went round that no one was to kill him in case the VC sent a replacement who could shoot straight. There were 10 years between Doug and me, so I was just a kid when he left. But I remember him in uniform and feeling disappointed I couldn't go as well. I had visions of glory, but now that I'm older, I don't think there was much glory in it. I know when he came back, he was a different bloke. Sure, he looked the same to most of you, but we could see it. He wouldn't go shooting with me anymore, and when he came in here, he'd drink by himself in that booth over there. If you tried to have a conversation with him, well, it was bloody hard work. A lot of boys were treated like shit when they got home, but Doug didn't see much of that. People around here thought he was a hero and wanted to buy him a beer on Anzac Day. He never turned anyone down, did he? But we knew he was always carrying something with him. Back on the farm, there'd be days he'd wander off for hours, and when you asked him where he'd been, he'd just say, "Nowhere." I've always figured that nowhere was really the place in his head that kept running the past. Audrey, his second wife, told me once she still loved him, but she couldn't stay because he was unknowable. She'd done a year at uni in the city and used a lot of words like that, but it's as good a description as any for Doug and all the others. We don't really know them, do we? Anyway, enough of that sort of stuff. At a time like this, I want everyone to remember he was a good bloke, right to the end, even when the Agent Orange cancer was eating him alive and he was in a lot of pain. Even then, he could have a laugh. One of the last things he said to me was, "Davey, there's a prayer we used to say over there, and I want you to say it at my funeral." I promised him I would. So here it is, with apologies to the ladies and to Father Brennan. I don't care if it rains or freezes, as long as I'm safe in the arms of Jesus. I am Jesus' little lamb. Too fucking right I am. Ha, 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 ha So here's my brother Doug and all the others who went away but never really came back.
Schumann wrote a song about Vietnam, about a kid who was only 19. About the 10 years of war that we fought at then, we were walking in the light green. Bogle wrote his classic about Willie McBride, about the kids who fought and died in no man's land. As the poppies waved and cried in Flanders fields, we marched towards St. Matilda's band. How can we forget about the mighty Keystone? Now the last plane out of Sydney's almost gone. I just wanted you to know about a friend of mine, whose friends are mostly gone before the dawn. 'Cause my father fought in World War II with his mates like Snowy and Curly and Blue. He saw the bombs rain down upon old downtown, and he knew the Japs weren't there to muck around. So he went down to the docks to see the ships had sailed, as they headed for some place they call Kokoda Trail. How can we forget about the mighty Keystone? Now the last plane out of Darwin's almost gone. I just wanted you to know about a friend of mine, whose friends are mostly gone before the dawn. 'Cause our fathers fought in World War II with their mates like Snowy and Curly and Blue. 19 battalion left along Kokoda's trail, 600 gaps in lives that we could never bridge. We owe it all to them and many thousands more, from Brunei Bay to Buna and on Imita Ridge. And how can we forget about the mighty Keystone? Now the last plane out of Moresby's almost gone. I just thought I'd write this song about a friend of mine, and 30,000 more out at Ballyquapan. 'Cause our fathers fought in World War II with their mates like Snowy and Curly and Blue. Eating bully beef and biscuits from the cans of some old war, our magazines were half full with live rounds. No pin-up girls on barrack walls and behind some dunny door. We were fighting for our freedom, we were fighting.
Fighting. bent double, like old beggars under sacks. Knock-kneed, coughing like hags, we cursed through sludge, till on the haunting flares we turned our backs, and towards our distant rest began to trudge. Men marched to sleep. Many had lost their boots, but limped on, bloodshod. All went lame, all blind, drunk with fatigue, deaf even to the hoots of tired, outstripped five nines that dropped behind. Guess, guess, quick boys, an ecstasy of fumbling, fitting the clumsy helmets just in time, but someone still was yelling out and stumbling and floundering like a man in fire or lime. Dim through the misty panes and thick green light, as under a green sea, I saw him drowning. In all my dreams, before my helpless sight, he plunges at me, guttering, choking, drowning. If in some smothering dreams you too could pace behind the wagon that we flung him in, and watch the white eyes writhing in his face, his hanging face, like a devil sick of sin, if you could hear at every jolt the blood come gargling from the froth-corrupted lungs, obscene as cancer, bitter as the cud of vile, incurable sores on innocent tongues. My friend, you would not tell with such high zest to children ardent for some desperate glory the old lie, dulce et decorum est, pro patria mori.